Whether it's slots or live dealers, SpinQuest.com has the fun and action you're looking for with SpinQuest exclusives, blackjack, roulette, baccarat, and even live dice with craps and bubble craps. The games never stop, so you don't have to. And right now, new users get $30 coin packs for just $10. Play now at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
This episode is brought to you by 3Chi. 3Chi, it rhymes, is the industry leader in Delta-8 THC products. Delta-8 is a federally legal version of THC and is a more functional alternative to marijuana. It gives you an amazing buzz and great body feel, but with a clearer head and less anxiety and paranoia. Go to 3Chi.com, the number 3CHI.com, to shop for Delta-8 edibles like cookies and gummies, or to shop for vapes, tinctures, and oils that can be used to make your own homemade edibles. Use code GUNS21, G-U-N-S-21, at checkout and receive 5% off your order. Must be 21 to purchase.
Some years ago, a crack commando comedy unit were given jobs above their pay grade. These men promptly were put on leave and escaped to an underground podcast stockade in an unknown location. Today, still unwanted by big media, they survive as comics of fortune. If you have a problem, if no one else can help, and you can find them, you can listen to Guns Blazing.
Man, there's just nothing better than cornhole and beer. That's the sound. If we only had a bag hitting the board right after that, it's my two favorite sounds in the world.
A couple of top quality sounds here, Todd.
Yeah, top quality sounds. We got top quality guests on the show. I'm going to have you introduce yourself. He's a fellow podcaster here at the World Championships for the American Cornhole League. A killer from Boston.
That's right. So I'm Brendan Ahern, and we have the Doghouse Cornhole Dogcast, because if you want to get as niche market in a podcast as you can, get a cornhole podcast about cornhole only.
Only cornhole.
Yeah. So, and we were invited out here by the people at Fire Cornhole, who had us out to do commentary, and Sean was grateful enough to do some commentary with me. And yeah, so I'm glad to be on the show.
Yeah, you guys are killing it over there with the commentary. You're on the Fire, of course. Fire, by the way, Fire Cornhole, man.
They're crushing it.
It's in the name. Those bags, all the gear, Fire. And you know what? They don't back as many players as everybody else, but who they back? Legit animals.
Yes.
I kind of like it like that, because you give these guys that are the top of the game more money.
Absolutely.
Instead of spreading a bunch of money thin, a large group of money, you know, whatever amount of thousands thin, why not take the four dudes that are on the guy on the broadcast 65% of the time and give them the money?
Let me tell you what I love about cornhole, why I started this podcast. You can go to a cornhole event. Matt Guy is basically Michael Jordan of cornhole, right?
Right.
For the people at home who don't know, Matt Guy is a janitorial supply salesman. Like, when COVID hit, he made a video talking about how to sanitize your hands properly. That's an American hero. Give me an American hero who can beat Ghost 11 and a half. You don't know what that means at home. Basically, you can shoot perfect forever. And he's a great guy. Like, that's what I like about it. Like, it's the last bastion of hope we have left in America that is a sport that people are normal, I feel like.
That's exactly right. I mean, these are the same people that you play against in your backyard, except it is way better than the people you play against in your backyard. But as far as human beings, same fucking people.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah.
They're here, they're drinking, they're joking, and they're just firing bags like you've never seen before. And it's something special, dude. That's why it's growing. And you said your podcast is a very niche market.
Yeah.
It is. But think about this. Ground floor, baby.
That's right.
Ground floor.
First
this
market.
Thing. Remember the UFC was a niche fucking podcast and a niche market to podcast in?
Yeah.
And now, look, everybody wants a piece of that shit.
Yeah. So the bad news is right now, we're still ground floor.
I'm a big ground floor guy.
Listen, I've been on the ground floor of a lot of things, you know, baseball cards, you know. But we're working on it. We're working on it. And it's going good. We get great people on the show who are like, seriously, like, it's like you're going to your local Elks. this is the guy. Like,
yeah.
He like has a tiling company, but then he throws daggers like at night. You know what I mean? Savages. I love
Great
it.
Great comparison.
It sure is. You got, I mean, I we did a video with Christina Pachty at the Indy 500 where we were offering people money and we were offering points. And we just went around smoking everybody, bro.
We gave everybody 15 points to start.
Yep.
I mean, they were handicapped 15 points. And you know, you've seen Christine Pachty. She's this tiny little lady.
Sure.
And she's so unassuming. She, I mean, she looks like your neighbor, right?
Yeah.
And or your school librarian or something. And then we pull her out of the bed of this pickup truck, and she jumps on your cornhole game at carb day at the Indianapolis 500, and you're spotted at 15 points, and you lose 21-15. Like, it's blowing people's minds.
Just smashing people.
Oh, yeah.
I love it.
Humiliating.
And rightfully so. I mean, the sport is so awesome. Everybody plays so much, but I just love that factor of you just don't have no idea who can absolutely smack you right in your little mouth thinking you're good.
Dude. And people come out of nowhere. Like, that's why, like, I used to play a lot. And I was like, at the beginning, I'm like, oh, I could work on my game and maybe be like, and then I came out to like some events. And I'm like, you know what? I should just stick on like a microphone.
Yeah.
It's a good place for me, like with a kegerator nearby. That's where I do my best work. You know what I mean?
Shout out kegerators, especially the ones with, that are like old yellow refrigerators that someone just drilled a hole in, put the kid in. I had one of those in my house for a couple of years in my apartment, like clockwork every single night after the bar shift was over, after our manager made us leave the drinking free beers at the restaurant and we done cleaning, rally at the crib, bro. Kegerator always wins. Dave, I had Dos Equis Amber on deck.
Listen, when you're throwing it, here's my opinion, my personal opinion. So I have a garage bar. If you ever go on, you can look at our, if you look up Doghouse Dogcast, we have a Facebook page. Every Friday I do a garage bar video. And since I used to do the chick-pop, like pull the can, make the sound, you know?
Uh-huh.
And now I'm just pouring drafts. When the people in the neighborhood know drafts are being poured, dude, stuff in the suburbs gets wild.
Songs.
People start losing it. Like, they think they're back in, like, 93, like, yeah, at the Kells in Brighton, Massachusetts, like, getting loose. Like, it's like, whoa, we can't be doing that. Hey, we're adults. You know what I mean?
I remember I was buying a fake ID with my fake ID in San Diego. Right after high school, I was buying kegs. I'm rolling them back on a skateboard, and they were, like, $60, bro. I don't know how much they are now. I haven't bought one in quite some time.
$72 for a Miller Lite quarter.
Okay, not too many. That's not bad inflation over 24 years.
I got a double kegerator, so we have an IPA.
You got a double kegerator.
Yeah, okay.
Like, motherfucker. Listen,
a full keg of 72 or the smaller?
I don't know how old the listenership of this show is, but when you get older, there's very few things you have left to hang on to, mm-hmm, right? So it's like, like the fact that I can have a party in my garage with people is like, I mean, that's actually all I wanted when I grew up. You know what I mean? I'm like, yeah, I just have a bunch of friends in here and rip it up. Like, let's do that.
It's the best, man. I saw that whole thing blow up like during COVID. I don't know when you built yours.
Yeah, that was
yeah. It was, Sean was sending me pictures. Like, there was this whole neighborhood in New Jersey where every single house.
I know those guys, dude.
Do you?
But I'll tell you this, though. Hey, before that, though, we were already.
John Gabarino's that guy's
name.
Yeah. Yeah, they were awesome. But, you know, even before that, Todd, I had been looking at your shed for probably a year.
Oh, easy. Maybe two.
And I kept on talking shit to him about it. Like, dude, I'm going to come in. I'm going to put in my own money, too. Like, I have no ownership here. It's your house, but I just want to do it so bad, and I kept on wanting to do it, and then I finally just like manifested this shit, and I'm like, COVID hit, it was already like late March, and we were like, fuck this. I go, let's just do it, bro. So let's just do it. So I went there for a month, and we shot a pilot and everything, and we got it, and we turned his awesome Amish shed barn into an outdoor patio bar.
Dude, yeah. I'll show you pictures after this recording, but it's like for two of us and then another comedian that we know out of Louisville, which he was kind of the... Don't you know? He would tell us not what the fuck up because
he's a main contractor,
but he also liked to nap a lot, so we end up doing a lot of the grunt work.
Yeah,
you know,
big napper.
But, yeah. So, dude, but it turned out like great. I have the best patio bar in Indianapolis, I think. Like it's
as far as a home patio bar.
Garage bar tours now on YouTube. So now I got to come down.
Oh, you got to come down.
Yeah, I got to come down.
Yes.
I benefit right. My best friend is an iron worker, a union boss, and iron worker. So you can imagine like his friends. Literally, like, if you take them somewhere, like, you don't have to worry about anything because they're all going to get arrested or beat everybody up, which is great. But he was like, he had his.
That's the original. That's the original.
Okay.
That's the original.
That's the original shed.
Okay. Here's another angle there from the other side.
Okay.
And then here's our finished product.
It's dope, dude.
Oh, yes, dude.
We built on the deck. We built that deck in a complete thunderstorm.
Yeah. It rained for 16 straight days. Every day that we worked on that shed, Ooh. It poured ass rain.
Yeah. We got it re-roofed. We had it re-roofed.
We had it on a roof.
And it was like one of those family community. Here's the inside. It was like one of those family community projects where, you know, like, at the time, his lady at the time, her mom's boyfriend rolled through, did all the electric. Oh, nice. Our other home, a fan just came over and did the decks with us.
Yeah.
Dude, another fan helped us with the roof.
So my buddy's the iron worker, right? So he actually was the one who came over. He's like, we're going to frame this fucking thing out. He's like, get a dumpster. Can I swear on the show?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
He's like, we're going to frame this fucking thing out. Get a dumpster. Get that thing out of here. So I got everything useless out of there, like my kids' bikes and everything. Mm-hmm. Threw all those away.
Put those rusty out there. Fuck
and
them
then,
bikes.
Like, we put in the bar. And it's like, you know, it's unbelievable. So then when it got cold, he's like, dude, you need heat in here.
Yeah.
We're in the Northeast. It's cold.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He's like, you don't want to be going back into your house having to, like, you know, live with your family. So I found this dude, had a $500 stove, right? Met this guy. He's like, I'll give you all the, I showed him pictures of my bar. He's like, I'm going to give you all the piping for free. And he goes, my neighbor was like, you get $2,000 for that. He goes, this motherfucker's trying to have a garage bar and have some people in there. He goes, I'm going to give it for free. I'm like,
what
are you talking about? So it's like Beast recognizes Beast. Dude.
Oh, my
you
God.
He's like, we're just trying to have a good time when you get older. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like to chill out, low key. Don't
not go anywhere. Like, what can I do in my own little world that I can, the least amount of ability? Like, I don't want to have to drive to a bar. I want to be able to invite
people
over.
That's the thing, right? And Sean and I were big bar people, right?
Yeah.
Like, we worked for Barstool and the Pat McAfee show. You know, it was part of the thing. You go out, you know, people wanted to see us. So you go hit all the downtown bars and shit. But then when COVID hit and you couldn't, and you got into that routine of just hanging out now with your closest homies.
Yeah.
And just doing it in the familiarity of your own fucking place.
Yep.
It's like, this is how I want to hang out from now on.
I could not agree with you more. Could not agree. And you know what the thing is? Here's the difference, right? Here's the barrier to entry. So for anybody at home who owns a home, middle class type person like me, the best thing in this, I'll give the credit to John Garbarino, the videos you talk about, the guys in Jersey.
Uh-huh.
John Garbarino's the guy who was the original garage bar. We got on the phone, we talked a few times. Here's the deal. It cost me $5,000. I went soup to nuts. New electrical out there, right? Got everything hooked up. I'm talking, when I tell you $5,000, I'm saying TV, electrical, like every sign I hung on the wall.
Wow.
You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. I did the math. Now, $5,000, dude, you're not putting a room in the back of your house for $5,000. Like, that's another living space, dude. We have people in there. We entertain in there.
Yeah.
It's like a whole different world, dude. It's like, it's nice. You know what I mean? It's nice to have, like, a different option. Like you said, like, than having to go someplace and then, and plus, you don't have all those people in your house. So if you got little kids, like, you know, my kids are now getting older. But, dude, I don't want my kids seeing me drunk. You know what I mean?
Right.
I'm out my own safety net over there.
Yeah.
You
know? Yeah, we probably, I'd say at least 7 G's overall with, you know, all the wood and the decking and then, and, you know, just fun, every little thing we did to it. You know, we also put in, like, we put a flat top grill in there. You know, and I was doing episodes in there right after.
Little
like
Blackstone in there?
Yep. Oh, yeah, we're doing episodes on there at night, just the
chef.
TV. Uh-huh. Yeah.
So I just limited it up. Big $20 chef guy. I said this right when I met Sean. I said, I've been watching $20 Chef like since day one. Like,
yeah, it's a great show.
Love it.
You know how it started? He would do these Snapchat videos while he was cooking. Like, I think he did them before we lived together, but definitely while we lived together.
No, right when I moved to Indy, it pretty much started.
Yeah, so he would just be cooking, you know, and he'd be vibing, you know, hit a little smoke or whatever, and he'd just be vibing. He'd be in there in our apartment and just grab it. He's one of these guys that could grab whatever you got in the cupboard, fridge, right? And then he would just start fucking boom, 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 and then he'd hack it up and he would cook it. And then everybody loved it so much. And then he was like, this could be a fucking show.
Like, yeah, but then Pat was like, that's what we started with Pat. He was like, well, what do you, we were having a great time on radio. And then he was like, well, what do you want to do for video content? What do you got? Any ideas we can start producing? So I was like, I kind of cook a lot on Snapchat. Kind of people like it. I'm just talking shit. I don't really know what I'm doing. And he's like, all right, we'll do that. So we kind of figured out the name and we got the artwork. But it was also a stall for at least almost a year. Remember, we were trying to wondering when can we do this? What's going to happen? When's this going to go down, Pat?
Sure.
You know, we couldn't really pressure him or talk.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, you got to let him also come to it.
Because he was still filling his way out with the whole Barstool thing.
Yeah, of course.
And then,
NFL
what products are we going to do? And then the NFL was courting him. ESPN was trying to court him, but he was with Barstool then, so they couldn't fuck with him. I mean, he had a lot to consider. But what Pat's really good at is establishing a hook.
Sure.
Like, he knows, like, this is what will make it work.
Yeah.
I don't know. I call it instinctual genius. There's a few people on the planet the habit.
Yep.
They just know right away, this is what the masses will enjoy.
Sure.
And then boom, he brands it that
well,
way.
Well, good news. You have me on the show, and I started a cornhole podcast, so obviously I know what everybody's doing. Yeah, you do.
You know, I had this show, and I was trying to think about what to do, and before even our chef started, it was more of an idea of, oh, well, I'll try to get Firehouse Subs on board, and I'll just do this cooking thing around with all the firehouses.
Sure.
But then Pat was like, you know, that's a good idea, but, I mean, how many firehouses can you do
right.
before you run out here? Like, what are we doing?
Longevity.
I'm running out of garage
bus.
That's why I'd be flying to Indianapolis.
Yeah. And he was like, and I was like, you know, he was right. And I was like, oh, yeah, fucking, I mean, I wanted to do
it. You know what I like? I just like, because as a fan of the $20 Chef, what grabbed me is like, when you were doing those, like, your videos, your energy was like, it was like almost like an East Coast energy. Like you were like coming in hot. Like, all right, grab the garlic. Do this. Boom, bang. I'm like, I like this. This guy moves fast. Like, there's no dicking around here. Like, we're cooking right now. Like, let's go.
It holds people's attention. You know what I mean?
Love it.
Like, not that Julia Childs didn't do well for herself, but I mean, look, like that slow ass, like, I don't care. You're a proper chef and all that stuff, but man, you're going to fucking put me to sleep. You know, I don't care how good that dinner is when you're done with it. Like, it has to be entertaining too, right? That's what a lot of those cooking shows are missing.
That's why if you tell me that, like, you don't like, for me, like, if I'm like hung over on the couch on like a Sunday and like Diners, Drivers, and Dives on all day, like Guy Fieri, like I'll roll with you in the Corvette.
Me too, bro.
Yeah.
Like whatever the Mustang, whatever it is. Look, yeah. No, like, dude, it moves fast. Restaurant to restaurant, like 8 minutes, like.
I spend 3 minutes trying to count just the jewelry on his left mitt,
dude. and people. People shit on Guy Fieri. Come on.
But what
dude.
A rock star, bro. I saw him. Before COVID hit in 2019, summer, I went to me and Biz Nasty he picked me and we went to the Calgary Stampede, and it's a monster rodeo in Canada.
Really?
It's probably 100,000 people. Level action, right? I mean, I rode out into the main arena on the back of me and Biz were hanging out on the back of the Budweiser horses fucking crates, bro, waving.
On the Clydesdales?
Yeah, on the Clydesdales on the back of the boxes, right? Like into this arena of 10,000 Canadians ready to watch some rodeo. And but I also, you know, it was also there we were in a barbecue contest with we had a team and shit.
Yeah.
And when Guy Fieri walked in, you thought Elvis showed up.
Dude.
You
couldn't even get by him, bro. He had two monster ass 6'8" security guards. He had everybody just mauling him, you know. And I was just like, Jesus, what a rock star, bro.
Yes.
Dude, people bucked on him for a little while. They were like, they were starting to be like, there was a Boston sports radio station. They were like, always like, oh, making fun of him. I'm like, dude, this guy's legend city. Like,
legend.
Like, dude, you don't want to hang out with Guy. Like, hook it up now. Like, I think he's amazing.
Yeah, and they're like, oh, you know, he's cheesy, whatever. Yeah, he's also on TV. Like, you have to have some level of cheese on your shit for it to work on TV. It's the only way they'll let it on there.
You
right?
literally have to commit to cheese.
Yes, you do.
Not to be a softie, but he's also promoting small business in that show.
100%,
those
bro.
Businesses, like, we have one
he
place
puts him
in
on
Boston.
The map.
Dude, he gets him on the map, and then they make... because you know, I mean, if you're in the business of actually selling food, like as a small business, like that's a hard living, man. So it's like somebody to shine a light on a small business, not a bigger one, like.
And not only a light, but he makes places a destination restaurant.
Yes.
Yeah.
I used to have an app when I was on tour with Gabriel Iglesias. I had an app called Food Something Foods TV.
Mm-hmm.
So then you just can look at every single restaurant in every city that's been on every show. So you would just open up the app, and then you'd pick a show, and then you can just scroll everywhere they've been. And then you can just type in the city, and they'll say, this restaurant, this is on Diners, Dives, and Drives, blah, 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 blah. And we would go there, big old sign out front, as seen on Diners, Dives, and Drives. And guess what? It was packed.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
I do the same thing when I travel. I go right to their site, and I look to see if they've been in that city, what restaurants, boom, I'm going there.
Yeah. And because I used to have jokes missing. You know, I used to have some Guy Fieri bits talking about him fucking always dipping his mitts in the sauce. You know, he's going to, like, get your mitts out of the sauce, homie. Like, I see you with your silver rings and shit dipping down into the fucking bolognese there. And I'm just like, and I was
my
like,
favorite is trying to figure out, like, if he likes it or not, because you can kind of tell, like, sometimes, you know, he's like, oh, I see what you did there. He's like, that's interesting. Uh-huh. It's like, is it interesting or is it good? Like,
yeah.
Two different words that we could use there, you know what I mean?
But he does have a really good, but what he does pick, and I mean, it's just so good. And I've sat and watched, and like, oh, man, I've tried to, like, you know, roll off of recipes I've watched on those shows. You know, because with food, well, I've always been like, you know, the more restaurants I've go to over the years, you know, I just go like, oh, okay, well, what are they doing here? And I try to, in some way, mimic it. Like, my favorite one of all time was I try to figure out, I went to this restaurant and they had the most amazing, I'm not a Brussels sprouts guy. Like, my grandma used to boil them, right? You just get these boiled, chewy-ass balls of shit. And you put a little salt on, it's like little kid fucking kryptonite, you know? And then, so I wasn't really a Brussels sprouts guy. Then I remember the first time I went where they roasted them with reduced down balsamic and some bacon and some and some Parmesan type shit melted on them.
I'm
crunching down. It's delicious. Like, is this the same fucking thing? Like, we were so off on the Brussels sprout for so long before someone stepped up, started slicing them up, roasting them, reducing down some balsamic, dropping some bacon in there. Dude, you know what I mean?
I'll tell you what, at some point, because I do these Friday Garage Bar videos, at some point, if I have my druthers, I'm gonna have Sean in there. We're gonna get a hot top out. We'll do a little.
You should
do a little Brussels sprouts in there. Ooh, smash!
Love it, bro. We got him. We got him the flat top. I just got my own. I can't hold out no longer.
Okay, so I want to ask you a question about the flat top, because I've been looking into it. It's my Weber grill now. After 10 years, is starting to go.
Mm-hmm. Well, you gotta have like, both the grill and that.
Well, that's what I'm saying. But I have a smoker, and somebody's like, "All you need is a smoker and the hot top."
No. You need. If you like smoking meat, then you got to have a smoker, obviously.
I have a smoker.
You got to have the grill as the base,
yeah.
Right? That's just the grill.
Yeah.
But the flat top's a different level. You could do so much other shit on it.
I know.
First of all, I become a taco man. Like, I'm a full-on operational fucking business.
Yeah.
Like, if you give me 50 pounds of steak that's marinated and ready to rock and about 500 tortillas, and I'm ready to open up shop.
I only cook tacos on there because no matter what I set out to start to cook on there, it always turns into a taco. It goes in a tortilla. I'm like, I don't, like, my brain says, if you're on this thing, you have to make tacos. It's like the only, so it always ends up street tacos. I don't care. If I start with short ribs, now it's short, Korean short ribs, street tacos, you know, like it's kind of one of those things. But I need to get into the Asian flair on there. I need to get some hibachi going
last week.
On, dude.
Really? My girl's uncle, very, you know, he's probably his early 70s.
Okay.
Passed away from cancer. Had a great run, right? So that my girl, her mom, and her two brothers, and then, you know, my girl's mom's, you know, my girl's aunt, you know, so a couple people, they all went up to Vermont to have a celebration of his life.
Nice.
You know, a little send off and dump his ashes. And so it was me and me and my girl's daughter, and then her brother's wives and their little kids.
Yep.
And I'm the cook of the whole. Like, I'm always the guy that takes over outside. Like, I always shut it down. Like, I go and buy $100 worth of meat, whatever else they got. I cook this shit they want me to cook, and I cook whatever I want. But I said, all right, tonight we're going garlic, you know, garlic fried rice shrimp. And I had my 3-4 cups of cold rice that I made the night before ready, because you got to make fried rice with the cold rice.
Yeah.
And then I just sat out there with like 4 pounds of shrimp. And just, you know, I just went ham you got your egg on there, you got your rice, you got a little bit of, you cut some nice onion up, you cut some garlic, some ginger after you peel it, you mix that up with the shrimp, a little bit of butter, and you got your rice, you know, and then you got your rice, and I mean a ton of garlic. Like, I'll get a whole bag of
enough to stop a werewolf.
Minced. Yes, but I do buy the garlic in a bag. I'll spend a few extra bucks that's already peeled but whole.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Yep.
And then I chop up 2 of those bags. Like, I go bonkers with the garlic on it. And I just have this thing, and I'm fucking Johnny Hibachi, bro. and then everybody loves it, bro. And
flip one on top of your hat.
Dude, I did it, and I was filming with Johnny Drinks in Ocean City, and I did an episode. And I did the thing. We were trying it, and I had a carton of eggs. So I was like, I'm going to do the shit the hibachi man does. You spin the egg, you take the spatula, you pop it up, you turn the spatula sideways, the egg cracks on it and goes down. First shot, did it. But then I went 0-11 for the rest of the carton. But here's the deal, though. That's what's the beauty of editing. I only saw the winner.
The other
11 didn't make the cut.
This is all because of COVID, man. COVID's had some good things. Like, it's brought us together. It's made us cook more. It's made us bond with our families and friends more. But now the world's opening back up, and it's getting a little more social even. I'm getting to the point now, Sean, when I show up at a social gathering, I want intro music ringing through my ears. But I don't want everybody else to hear my intro music, because they're going to think I'm fucking weird.
Yeah.
Like, I'll play The Boys Are Back in Town through my wireless earbuds.
And you know what? That's how you get down, Todd. You know what I mean?
It is. No matter how you're feeling about getting back out there, there's no denying it's an adjustment. When the world gets too loud, something I love to do is create my own soundtracks by popping in my Raycon wireless earbuds. Sometimes you need some upbeat music to pump you up before you see other people or to stay calm. Or maybe you're in a meditation. I don't know. Maybe you're one of those people.
I'll tell you what I do.
If you are, keep that to yourself because I don't want to hear that shit.
Yeah, keep your shit in there.
You know what I mean?
It's your little hums or whatever. Your
I
little
want
weird
you wearing
bells.
Your wireless earbuds then.
I like to pop my Raycons in, Todd, and get out there on my 14 sets of bags and just go to work. I put my favorite tracks on. And the good thing is I'm sweaty out there. I'm throwing bags in 90-degree weather, 95. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Sweaty on a 2 p.m. Yeah. on a Tuesday. Okay, what am I doing though? I don't have to worry about it because guess what? Raycon wireless earbuds? Waterproof, kid. The
waterproof.
Sweat is built for it.
It is. I'll swim with mine. You know what I mean? I'll do laps in the pool. I got an Olympic-sized swimming pool in my backyard. That's not true, but there's one at the YMCA, and I'll get in there, and I'll wear them while I'm swimming. I don't care. They're waterproof.
The OMCA, that's the old man's club there for
it
you.
Is,
but
it is the old man's
I'll
club.
Tell you right now, though, Todd. Raycons are the best way to listen, and you got to know that, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Dude, you got to worry about battery life. You want to talk battery life? A 32-hour battery life? I mean,
Jesus.
I mean, we've been doing ads for Raycon for a while. And
I'll tell you right now,
every
stop.
Now and then, you know, we're like, oh, 12 hours. Oh, my God, that's awesome. 24 hours. Now we're up to 32-hour battery life. I mean, it's a whole weekend for me. So you can hear all your favorite shit without having to worry about stopping. And when you travel like us, that battery life's extra.
It's almost like they're overachieving. Calm down, Raycon. We get it. You're better than everybody, and you're a better price.
You know, I can't wait for 6 months from now. It's going to be like an infinity battery life. It never dies.
Well, here's the good thing, Todd. I got some news for you.
Uh-oh.
Okay? I got some news for our guest. I got some news for fucking this table listening, that keyboard, these beers, that mouse.
Yep.
Right now, guys, okay, they start at half price of other premium audio brands, okay? But they don't just sound as good. They are as good, and they're way better.
Way better. And they come with a 45-day happiness guarantee, so you really can't lose. Give them a try, and you'll see exactly what we mean. Here's the deal for you guys, because that's what you're asking right now. I get it, but what's my deal? I listen
Todd,
to
what's
your
my
podcast.
Deal? I get it.
Is there something special that I get? Because
what
I'm
do
a,
I get?
I'm an avid listener of Guns Blazing. Yes. Create your own soundtrack with Raycon right now. Guns Blazing listeners get 15% off the Raycon order at buyraycon.com/guns blazing.
Jesus, what a steal.
What a steal. That's buyraycon.com/guns blazing to save 15% on Raycons. Listen.
Guys, one more time. buyraycon.com/guns blazing. No G. Come on.
No G. Listen, you guys, we like to keep Raycons in our lives, so don't be afraid to use that code and take advantage of that deal. All right, so brother, you got like a buttload of kids, right?
I got three kids.
Three kids.
I got one kid in private school, and you know what?
What?
Super smart.
Super smart.
I don't know where she got from. I'm like middle of the class. My wife's middle of the class. This girl's high honors.
Really?
Right? I don't know who stopped at my house one day, but it wasn't me. But she kills it. She was like, I want to go to private school. I'm like, I want to go to the moon. I want to drive the Sweet Pickles bus too, but I can't do that because we don't have the money for it. She's like, but I get straight A's. I'm like, so that's why I have to get side jobs, like, you know. So listen to the Dogcast, so you guys,
yeah,
yeah,
my dog.
We need some.
If you also, if you
want to
save money, if you want to get your Raycon 15% off, we got
Dude,
that
let
for
me,
you.
Let me tell you something right now. Here's something that people don't realize. I had a weight loss contest with my buddies from January 1st to March 12th.
Okay,
right, 68 days. I lost. Because we hate each other. I hate losing, right? I lost 42 pounds.
Jesus.
So I went from 226 to whatever that is, 185.
Wow.
And somebody keeps people keep saying to me, how'd you do it? And I hate to tell you, you know what the answer is? You don't eat much food. That's actually the dude. Let me tell you what.
Stop eating like a pig.
Dude, I didn't know the answer is no street tacos. Right? Which sucks. It's like, here's a can of tuna fish. Here's a Stairmaster. Yeah. And like, here's a lot of boring time on your hands. Nothing.
Yeah.
Right?
There's a lot of
now,
water.
What time frame did you lose that
68 days.
Okay. Listen, yeah. I get you. I was also in a weight loss competition in 2019, I think.
You shredded
okay.
some pounds.
And we had 30 days.
Yeah.
It was me
30 days
and
is
three
tight
other
frame.
People on the
tight
Pat McAfee
frame.
Show, and they were way bigger than me. But it went by your
percentage, not
percentage
by
that you
exactly,
lose.
Yes.
Yeah, of your original weight. So I gained a bunch of weight beforehand. Yeah. I ate nothing. I went on a Hostess diet, and love I freaking gained like 11 pounds strategy beforehand. But I lost 43 pounds in 30 days.
Dude.
And people were hitting me up, and they're like, dude, like, hey, I need your diet plan. And I go, dude, it's starvation. Like, literally, there was no diet. I weeded food down until the last week. I didn't eat for 7 days, and I weaned off water to where I didn't drink the last 2 days.
I didn't drink or eat the last 2 days.
Oh,
my wife was like, what is wrong with you? And I was, like, driving my daughter to school, and I'm, like, seeing, like, triple. And I went, dude, I drove straight to McDonald's. Uh-huh. I got a bacon, sausage, egg, muffin with cheese. And then I went to my house to weigh in. Went down, go 185. I hadn't weighed 185 since senior year of basketball.
Yeah.
Like in high school, right?
Yeah.
And that was the best food I ever ate in my life.
I can imagine. I had a little handful
of almond slivers the day before weighing, like just to get some like nutrients in my body.
Yeah.
Like, I'm like, dude, you want to win? Do you want to win or do you want to lose? That's the question.
Yeah. I mean, it's 2 days.
Dude, 43 pounds in 30 days is way more impressive than what I did.
Well, it was completely starvation. But I'm like you. I have this weird little demon that lives inside me. And when you tell me, there's no way I can fucking beat these guys. Like my fiance was like, you're fucking stupid. There's no way you can win. Like, all you do is you're going to end up hurting yourself long-term health-wise. Yeah. And I'm like, oi, man, all I heard was you said I can't beat these guys.
Exactly.
So let me show you because I'm about to go psychotic.
Yeah.
And I would. Like, I was like, I know I'll beat these guys because they don't have what I have.
Yeah.
Like, I'll fucking fight to the death to win this thing.
Dude. And you were a little, you were a law. Man, it wasn't like a hell. It was almost unhealthy how much you lost.
Oh, yeah.
Because he's not overweight. See, I mean, he's got a little bit of a beer belly, but that's it.
The day after, so the night we won, we had full steak dinner at Encore, which is the Wynn Hotel in Boston.
Mm-hmm.
We won, so we ate, we drank, partied. And then next day, my dad took me and my son out to this, like, actually this Mexican restaurant. And I'm like, I had like a half a fajita. And I'm like, I couldn't eat more. He goes, what are you, grandmother, for Christ's sake? He goes, Jesus. He goes, dude, you can't even eat anymore. He's like, you break yourself?
Yeah, that stomach
bad
probably
news,
shrinks
no, it's
up.
Back.
Yeah,
it's back. I can eat again.
Dude, you know what the torture of it was? The last week of that thing where I knew I was going to have to starve myself pretty much. Because I'd researched the fuck out of it. I'd looked at what MMA fighters were doing and stuff, right? So I saw that water fast thing where that's when they're going to the last week of weigh in. Yeah, you water load and then take it away. And then that last week, we're in Atlanta for the Super Bowl. Pat's throwing this awesome fucking ring. He's working for Wrangler. They're sponsoring this longest drive charity thing. So all these NFL players are coming up. And I was just relegated to being a cameraman for that. I wasn't on microphone very much. So I'm just an extra cameraman. And Topgolf. And DAZN came in and just laid out the best fucking buffet every day that you've ever seen in your life. Three stages of buffet.
I couldn't do that.
Breakfast. They swap it out for lunch, and then they come in with ribs and chicken and steak and shit for dinner. I mean, as long as this basketball court of food laid up there in the top floor of Topgolf. And me and the other two guys that were starving ourselves had to stare at that shit for a week.
Dude, that's actually, like, I wouldn't ever be able to do that.
Mm.
That's why I always say, like, it's easy for, like, people who are normal to not, like, have extramarital affairs because they're not really good looking, like most normal people.
Right,
so it's
right.
like Brad Pitt's not coming up to, like, my wife, and or, like, Jennifer Aniston's not coming up to me. So it's I have a problem on my hands. I'm in my garage by myself.
It's
like,
easy.
Beers.
Not to
like,
cheat.
Yeah.
Because no one's wanting to fuck me.
Yeah. So I remove every temptation. You're sitting there at the buffet. No way I can do that.
No,
we're on the
bro.
Top floor of Topgolf, and I'm looking at all that food, and I was like, I should just jump off this motherfucker.
Hey, you know what else? While before I forget, on that flat top grill, breakfast.
Oh,
game changer.
Total game changer. That's what actually makes me want it.
We actually, when
brunch,
we were in Indy for the 5-way, we were there, when were we there for last? When we made the briskets and shit.
Carb day, yeah. So, man.
No, wait, when we were there with, we were there for the Patreon party.
Oh, yeah.
So we had an event. We told our top tier Patreoners.
Yep.
Stick with us till summer. We're going to throw you guys a backyard bash. Free food and drinks on us.
Nice.
We'll do our thing. We'll have a good time. We'll have to play cornhole, just talking shit. So we did. But a few days before that, I came in early. We're hanging out. And my buddy who owns a 100-year meat market that's absolutely incredible with amazing meats.
Everything about what you just said is sick.
Yeah,
world meat market.
Oh, like, my God.
And he knows he's like a meat genius, like as far as like what it is, everything about it. But we made some briskets. We made a few brisket for the party. He donated us some briskets. Shout out Kincaid's Meat Market. If you're in the Indianapolis metropolitan area, they have two locations, Fishers and in Broad Ripple. And then But he, and then the next day after the brisket, we had great, the food came out awesome. We're making these awesome sandwiches, jardinier on the brisket. And then the next morning, we he's came back over, and we bust out the flat top. And, you know, and listen, I'm not a hardo. I don't need to peel my own potatoes and make my own hash browns. Like, I'll buy the bag of hash browns frozen, you know? And then what we did was, what he did, the royal we, he took some brisket that was left over, took some of that juice and the meat, dumped it in the hash browns, cooked it with the onion and the meat. And then we had these brisket hash browns. And then we had, like, the bacon still rocking, you know, bacon. You got the thing on top, so it's nice and flat and long, like at a restaurant. We got about 15, 20 eggs rocking and rolling, bro. I'm telling you, it's just a game changer. Especially breakfast is my shit. Like, I want to wake up on Sunday and be out there drinking mimosas, yes, and just making breakfast for 25 and about people.
Brunch. You eat breakfast. You drink. It's like 11. You know, like,
yeah, it's like a DJ booth, but for food.
Yeah,
I tell you, that brisket set on my grill for about 2 days because, you know, while people were eating it at the party. You know, the grill helped keep it warm a little bit and also kept the flies off, right? You just open it up, grab your meat, whatever. So it sat there and it drained grease into the bottom of my grill for 2 days. And I forgot about it, right? They're all gone like the next week or whatever. I just go out real quick to cook some hamburgers and brats for me and my lady and a friend. And I go out there to start the grill because I always like to burn off the black shit on the, yeah, on the burn or on the grates. So I fire it up on high and I just walk away for about 10 minutes. And I come back out, and my fucking grill is glowing.
No.
Yes. It's like orange glow, and I can see, you know, from the heat, you can see the wave in the air. And I'm like, what the fuck? And I go in there, and I open it. Woo! I mean, it is fully engulfed. Like, all the, it must have been four fat inches oils of fat, grease, and oil at the bottom of that thing, and it was burning hot. I was like, it's going to melt my grill.
It's going to blow.
So
it's going to blow.
I lift the thing up. I cut the gas to it, and I walked away, and it probably took 2 hours to burn itself out.
Yeah, you know, people forget in Fight Club, they use all the fat from the plastic surgery place for the soap to blow shit up.
Oh, that's right.
That's right.
The fat, you want to blow up some shit, just let some brisket leak onto your propane tank for a few days. Light that guy up with a fucking
fire. We would have blown up the entire shed that we worked so hard on. It just...
It would have been a hole. It would have been done. That shit would have been done.
Jesus.
Dude, when you're trying to, listen, like, any type of, like, thing like that, you mix it with the alcohol. Like, we tried to do a smoker one time in South Boston. Like, I don't, if you guys have seen Goodwill Hunting or any movie in Southie, we lived there for a little while after college, and we had it on my buddy's front porch. Dumbest idea of all time. I lit the thing. All of a sudden, they got out of control. I'm like, we almost blew a block down. I'm like, dude, we're getting lobster pots and like putting them on top of the thing. Like, you know, like, dude, you gotta be careful. You know what I mean? Cause you're all fucked up. You start like playing fire, dude, like, and you start nodding off a little bit. Next thing you know, you got a real problem on your hands. You know what I mean?
I'm always good for getting ready to cook some food all stoned. Then I turn the burner on or something, get the water boiling, and then I go back in there, and the water has completely evaporated. 3 cups of water. It's fucking black. The bottom of the pot's black. I'm trying to get this.
I can't tell you how many times I've watched Guy Fieri, and then, like, all of a sudden, I'm like, I have ramen noodles on? Like, all you can just smell, like, bacon in the other room. Like,
yep.
Just their own sweat.
Oh. Just becomes like a crab cake or some shit. It's right. Just this crispy-ass, ramen, man. By the way, guys, ramen, easy to live off of. Just add egg, add some scallions.
100%. 100%.
Go get some fucking steakums, bro.
My favorite food when I was a kid was ramen. Dude,
oh, me
all
too.
Day. All day long. All day
all
long.
Day.
So good.
You know, I eat a lot of tuna right now. You get them like a nice piece of tuna, $7, $8, $10 max, you know. It's just so good, though, that ahi. I always throw a little salt and pepper on it. Olive oil, obviously, a little rub down olive oil. Got to keep the smoke point high. A little salt and pepper. And then you throw your sesame seeds on there. A little bit of sear on each side, bro. Some lemon. Done, bro. I will smash that. A cup of rice. Done.
Mm.
$10 out the gate. You're eating like you're fucking a Japanese sous chef on his day off going into the restaurant.
Yeah. Oh, I'd love it.
That's one thing I do miss about restaurant employment. The constant and absolute consistent free food.
Oh, I bet. Yeah.
Because then you go in on your day off even.
Mm-hmm.
They feed
and
you.
All your homies can hook you up. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Coming out with extra tacos and shit like that, dude. Oh.
Jesus. All right, let's test you out a little bit.
All right.
What's your opinion on Steven Seagal?
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. In my opinion, like, my favorite. I'm a big martial arts movie guy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I think I've heard Joe Rogan's take. You know what I mean? I think, like, let me watch him break arms all day long.
Yeah.
I think he's unbelievable. Mm-hmm. I love him. Personal life, I don't know. I'm not going to be opinion on that.
Right.
I'm going to tell you, like,
the fantasy part of him is all I give a fuck about.
He's a Russian spy, but it's fine. I hate him.
You think he's a Russian spy?
I hate him.
Oh, you hate him?
I hate him. But listen, I'll preface it. I agree with you. The reason I hate him is because I used to love him so much. Like, he was a big part of my childhood. When Above the Law came out, I was like, what the fuck is this?
Come on, Frankie, you better tell me what I want to know.
I've never seen this before. Like, what's he doing? How's he throwing these people? That fucking clothesline move where he pulls a man in the...
It's called Wing Chun.
And I love this guy so much. I watched him go on The Tonight Show, I think it was, and talk about how he was a consultant for the CIA and all this stuff. Come to find out, that part all made up. You know,
really?
Not true.
And okay. Then, you know, his martial arts turns out to be one of those martial arts where it's fairly choreographed.
Aikido,
it looks good, right? Yeah, Aikido. Yeah. It looks
good. It's the one where he like touches your arm and you flip.
I just want to say one thing. I thought there'd be a lot more ninjas in my life when I was in the fourth grade.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Like, I used to buy Ninja Magazine. They had a magazine called Ninja Magazine.
Oh, I was a ninja for combined 6 years of my childhood.
Like tiger claws, he's climbing up a tree. Like, I don't know why that's ever necessary. But I was like, that's going to be what I'm going to do for a job when I'm an adult. I'll be a fucking ninja.
I was all about ninjas growing up, dude. There was a movie called American Ninja. The white ninja, the white dude, it was a ninja. Yeah, oh, my God.
Bro, Snake Eyes has got a movie coming out.
Have you ever seen Gymkhana? Have you ever seen this movie? This would be like your... Like, you're my age, I think.
Uh-huh. You mean Jim Carter?
No. The president.
I don't know if it's, I don't know if it's your accent or if it's noir in general.
Who also learned karate and, like, would go around, like, on his hands and, like beat people up. Unbelievable movie.
Nice.
They were really stretching it out in those days. Yeah.
But, you know, I think, like, you know, Seagal had his own angle on how he fought. Because it was so in close and it was kind of like he was just swatting flies. But it was, like, nine dudes. He's just like...
Listen. He also looked out of shape a little bit, which I liked. I'm like, this guy doesn't look like he's jacked. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, Bruce Lee, I'm like, I'll never look like this guy. Obviously.
Right.
But he was so smooth with it. So come on, smooth. Ricky.
Yeah.
Tell me what I need to know.
It's now when you watch, like, listen, Above the Law, one of my favorite movies from my childhood.
Come
Under
on.
Siege with Tommy Lee Jones. I mean, he's a fucking ex-Navy SEAL who decides, I'll end my career as a cook in the Navy. And then his ship gets hijacked and he takes out the entire terrorist cell by himself. Come on. But then now when you watch these movies that he's still cranking out, and give a guy credit, he's like 67 years old. But the cuts they make, like when he tosses somebody, he'll start the move and then it's a quick jump cut and all of a sudden
I think he's like almost like Guns N' Roses. Like when he was in his prime, like give me that all day long.
Yeah.
And now
yeah.
it's like all my buddies went the other night to Fenway to see Axl. Uh-huh. Dude, when I heard Axl Rose the first time I was in the sixth grade, my buddy brought me up to the room, put it on low. It was like Rocket Queen, I'm like, woo, what are we listening to right now? Like, I felt like I was like, oh my God. Like I became a man listening to that music. Like, and then I saw like him singing like Two Keys Down the other night from Fenway. I'm like, I don't want to see that. I do want to see Slash, though. I will say that.
Yeah, you can't go wrong with old Slash.
It's like
bro.
Clint Eastwood, dude.
As long as he didn't cut his hair, bro.
All right, let me ask. Can I ask you guys?
Yes,
yes. We ask this on our podcast all the time. All right, these three, I'm going to rank three things. I'm going to say three things, and you tell me how true you think they are.
Okay.
10 being it's absolutely true. One being like, no, it's not true.
Okay.
The first one is ghosts.
Absolutely true.
Okay, so a 10 for you.
10.
You've had experiences, obviously.
I've seen two ghosts in my lifetime.
I love it. Go ahead. What do you got?
I'm going to go 9. I mean, I can't really speak on some shit I don't know about except for what we all speculate. But I think one time I did see a ghost in Mass when I was in Massachusetts with Fluffy walking down the middle of the street asking me if I was her husband. And I was just tripping balls. Like, where does the old lady walk from? It's pitch dark and it's all forest over there. And so that one made me really... I used to be like, yo, ghost, come on, stop it with the fucking ghosts. But then after that encounter...
Yeah.
I definitely upped my belief system.
I'm 100% on ghosts. Like, I've seen a ghost in my parents' house. 100% on ghosts. Aliens.
120%. So can I
now
go on 11?
Like, you shouldn't even ask it anymore because we started asking before they basically were like, yeah, there's aliens.
Yeah.
Like now it's like, oh, by the way, I know that you're also paying higher taxes. There's aliens also.
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah. Don't forget that. So we're dying by the hundreds of thousands here on the planet, but also aliens, maybe real.
It's like nobody even gives a shit.
We were just talking about this yesterday.
Last night,
now that the government has like leaks have happened where these pilots' videos are showing up, and then people who used to work for the Air Force and these groups that were responsible for collecting information on UFOs are now coming out and say, because it's declassified, sure. They're like, yeah, yeah, we proved it. We had some, and we had to lie about it. They told us we had to lie. So, yeah, it's kind of the cat's out of the bag. I think there's probably still plenty of people that don't believe that. But I think what's happening is, this is my personal opinion.
Okay.
The government is behind those leaks. They're giving them out.
Okay.
And they're saying, hey, you take that, run with it, and you say that you got it some other means, release it, because we need to start preparing people for the big news that we're going to have to drop on them, which is fucking, they are here, they're living here, we've been talking with them, you know, but yeah, so at any given time, if they want to kill us and eat us, they'll be able
Listen,
to.
Listen, my wife will be like, this will be your favorite podcast I've ever been a part of, because she's always like, you know what's happening in 2022? I'm like, listen. She's like, what? She's like, that's when we're all going to probably die. Like, she's like, it's a double conspiracy.
Yes.
I'm like, how many levels down are we going into Inception right now?
We will absolutely end as a species by alien attack. I 100% believe that we will die at the end. We will stop existing because of aliens.
Here's the conversation I have with my brother-in-law. My brother-in-law is a firefighter. Ex-US Air Force guy. He's like, all right, aliens land tomorrow. He's like, dude, I'm pulling out, like, and it's pretty clear they're hostile. He's like, I'm pulling out a 9mm. And just doing my family and myself, because nothing good's happening. Jesus. He's like, I don't want to be sent to war camps and like be like tossed back and forth. He's like, they won't remember. I'll do it while they're asleep.
I'm suddenly,
like,
it's
not the worst idea in the world.
You're like the deputy in 30 Days of Night that did that. And then he did.
He's
gun jammed and he couldn't kill himself.
Trying to break rocks up on Venus and shit while your foot's chained to another dude cracking rocks.
And I said to him, I'm like, dude, that scene in like War of the Worlds when they're ripping Tom, trying to rip Tom Cruise out of the minivan. I'm like, that's my worst nightmare. I'd be defenseless.
Yeah. I would go full Devil Comes Down to Georgia style action where I'd be like, listen, you guys, I know you probably don't even need to negotiate with me. Okay. You do whatever the fuck you want. But how about we play one game of cornhole for the world?
The world.
Winner takes the planet. Okay.
I'm going to fight.
They're very nasally in my world.
I'm going to fight because I in my mind, there's always that one thing that we can figure out, like in that
the
movie with the guy from The Office, like where they can't talk because they got to stay quiet all the time.
Yeah.
Quiet Place.
Yeah.
Like the little girl's hearing aid, fucking that tone was, you know, this fucking blows up aliens. Something like that. I'll try to fight to the end. But as long as, like, if we become like sex slaves to the aliens, you know what I mean? If these
gay
aliens show up,
then there's a big difference there.
Let's say they're not.
What if they force you to be a power bottom on Mars? You know
yes,
what I mean?
That's what I'm saying. And they're just getting, fucking drilling your asshole with this giant alien spiral cock thing that comes out like a drill bit and reams your asshole. I'll kill myself.
Especially if he's got like an anti-gravity cock where he can still hammer away even though we're in you know, half the gravity or whatever.
Oh, Jesus.
Dude, imagine that.
Cock is,
I'm just floating.
Those are three things I've never heard together in my life. All right, so last one's Bigfoot.
Whoa. I'm gonna go a zero on Bigfoot.
Yeah, I'll go one just because I don't know. No one knows, but
listen,
that guy did not film fucking Bigfoot.
You know who made it fucking crystal clear to me? Some guy was on Rogan or somebody and was like, all right, they're like, well, you need 250 of a species to have a breeding population.
Yes.
So like, you know what I mean? Unless the thing's like a mystical beast that goes between dimensions.
Yes.
Like, it's not, there's not enough of them to fucking breed. So I'm like, fuck.
I forget the number. Like, there's a senator down in Alabama, I think, that's trying to pass legislation to allow people to, like, he wants a hunting season for Bigfoot. And I'm
We're tackling the important issues down in Alabama.
I'm like, dude. First of all,
hitting ones.
You can't hunt endangered species, and I think the amount of animals you need for endangered species is like, I don't know, like 2,000 or something. We've seen zero Bigfoots. Like, you can't hunt.
And here's another thing. If you're one of those people that still think that you're skeptical whether or not the original Bigfoot footage is real, there was like 8 video cameras back then.
Yeah, dude.
All of a sudden, this guy happens to set one of the 8 up.
Yeah. While he's on horseback.
Yeah. Meanwhile,
dude, my neighbor, my godfather, we lived in a duplex, right, in Boston.
He used to have a fucking like, this is well beyond the Patterson footage tapes, right? Mm-hmm. Motherfucker's got a VCR arm the size of a suitcase you drop at Logan, right? And he's got a camera on this arm. So, like, you're telling me he got a camera on his arm while he's on the
Yeah, fuck off.
No way, dude.
That's why I'm like, oh, now we have 6 million cameras. I literally have personally about 8 video cameras between devices and shit.
Yeah.
Everybody does.
But nobody's getting footage.
And we're getting no new footage whatsoever.
Dude, my neighbor would take him like 45 minutes to set up for Christmas morning. I mean, and this guy's getting like Patterson footage.
Yeah. But the amount of people that do believe in Bigfoot, insane. Insane.
Dude, and if
we interviewed one
and no,
they
are.
We went to Sylacauga, Alabama to film a documentary. And
huge tourist hub.
While we were there, we had to, first of all, they thought we were Borating them. Because they looked us up and two of us were comedians. Yeah. So we had to overcome that. So we had to have a meeting with this one town board there in Oak Grove, Alabama. Yeah. So we meet with the whole town board and we're convincing them that we're serious. That, you know, this is a serious documentary about this lady who got hit by a meteorite and lived in their town. And it's not going to be funny and any of this stuff. And we're not going to make fun of you, whatever. And then we had this release form that we, you know, it's like, you know, people, you will sign this to be in it, whatever. And they're reading it. And then there's a guy on the end and he picks it up and he goes, well, I don't know, but it looks to me to be pretty standard. Looks like just like the one when the documentary came to film me and my Bigfoot. And we were like, what? What? Do you have time after this for a quick interview?
Your Bigfoot?
He has a Bigfoot lives behind his house.
Oh, that's what he thinks?
That's what he thinks. 100% what he thinks. I mean, this community, and it's huge.
And if you are a Bigfoot and you happen to listen to this podcast, come out, bro. Why not?
You're
a $20
chef. You could be eating better. You know what I mean?
That's your next niche podcast. You can do it on Bigfoot.
Bigfoot cast.
Bigfoot believers.
Yeah.
Bigfoot exists. Even more niche.
Bigfoot house
like
cast.
Cornhole believe in Bigfoot who also like the $20 chef.
Yeah.
That's my next. We're going to have about 9 listeners a week.
Yeah.
It'd be me, Sean, and like the other guys in the dog cast.
My theory.
The guy from Alabama.
Yeah. My theory on aliens as far as our universe is concerned or life forms, right? Like, look, when we were in high school, we had 9 planets. And now one of them ain't even a planet anymore. I think Pluto floated the fuck off. It's just wandering around the universe now, right?
Yeah.
So that means that eventually the planets, the gravitational pull, slowly, like the planet, you know, slowly gets more and farther and farther from the sun. So let's say the sun's 0. Let's say Pluto's 100. You got a window of life that can grow, right? Like, obviously too close to the sun, 1 to 20, you ain't getting no growth.
Sure.
Then you get to that fucking peak point where we are in the universe, distance from the sun, but not too far to be completely ice cold where shit won't grow.
Sure.
And I think that's how it works in all universes. It has to work that way.
Unless you are an alien species who's impermeable to heat and you live off eating lava.
Which, you know what?
Then you could be on the planet next to the
sun babies.
Good news. We're going to start that podcast next week.
Yeah.
Now, if you happen to be an alien that's impermeable to heat. You know what annoys the shit out of me? Is that my son's like, you know, he's 12, but he was like super into dinosaurs.
Uh-huh.
And like, I'd be like, oh, it's a brontosaurus. He's like, ah, dad, that term went out like 10 years ago.
Yeah.
What do
they call it?
Motherfucker, I'm like, when I was a kid, it was a brontosaurus. So
what's it called now?
Like a brachiosaurus, but then
they changed
the
brontosaurus name?
I think it's been changed 3 times.
Fuck off, whoever did that.
Brontosaurus is fucking gone, dude.
Like, if you say brontosaurus to a 9-year-old kid right now, it's like saying the word midget.
Yeah.
Like, it's
really?
That offensive.
Live on the live feed, by the way. Earlier.
Yeah.
My wife texts me, mental midget. Nice. I'm like, I'm sorry. It came out. It is what it is.
No, that's ridiculous, man. That's just absolutely ridiculous. And if you don't believe in aliens, you're an absolute fucking goofball,
you're a dummy.
Dude. Like, how cocky can you be to think in this big, humongous black infinity that we measure in years that light travels inside of 365 days?
I'm like amazed we got in a fucking plane and came here. Like, that still is wild to me. Like, 2.5 hours. Like, I'm in a, like, where'd we get that technology?
You know what else?
Go deep on this.
You know? I also feel like when the Earth finally gets to that point, right? Like, when you're in that sweet spot of life growth before it gets too cold to be possible. They already figured, the civilizations have had so much time, they figure out how to just wander off anyways, like we're doing now, going to Mars and fucking around with rovers or whatever, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Which, by the way, conspiracy theorists say, strong chance that shit even on Mars. The rover running around in fucking...
Arizona?
No, the Arctic somewhere. They got like a... in the Antarctic or something. They got,
really?
Yeah. I saw a video.
My buddy had a theory in college where he was like, I don't give a fuck what they're doing to us, what they're saying. I can't control it. I'm just going to go to my job and do my fucking shit.
and fucking let them worry about it.
There's a lot of people that still think we haven't landed on the moon.
Yeah.
They think it was all staged in some studio somewhere.
We had to beat Russia.
The Joe Rogan hybrid, which is like, they landed there, but like they didn't have really, once again, I could barely take a picture of myself for a selfie. These motherfuckers are taking pictures on the moon. Like,
yeah, you send it back clear video.
Yeah,
I can't send a 2-minute video to my friend without getting an iCloud link.
That's what
it takes 30 minutes. And you were sending video in 1930 or whatever, 40, 50, 61. Eat a bowl of shit. You're lying. You'd have to bring that back on a hard drive, kid.
Yeah,
I love it.
Like, I think they went up there. They tried to send the shit, and they're like, "We can't really do this." So they're like, "All right, we have the studio ready. When you get home, we'll just recreate it."
Yeah,
I believe a lot of that happened.
It don't make no sense, but. You know, again, I feel like a lot of times alien spaceships are either reverse engineered ships that we're driving around, or thanks Bob Lazar for the info.
Thank you, Bob.
Or they're just the children that have cars from other galaxies that are fucking around. And, you dare me to go down there, Mark?
Dude, you want to hear some deep shit? Like our buddy McCracken, who's on our show, his theory is that they're aliens that pay like a fee. Like to go down and like look at the Earth, like it's like it was like a fucking going to Disney.
A tourist,
World. Like like a tourist fucking like. Oh, hey, that. Here it is. Hey, all right, we're back.
Can't say no. I mean, look how much we came in 100 years. Imagine if a civilization's 1,000 years ahead of us.
Yeah, hey, that's exactly what they say too. We've advanced so much in the last like 60 years, more than we have like our entire existence.
Since, no idea.
Since 1900,
that's coming from alien technology. The reverse engineering it, we established it. Stay 100%. Tuned for our next spinoff podcast, which is going to be all about. Reverse engineering alien.
And Bob Lazar was right the whole time, and they better reinstate him.
Yeah.
And they better fucking bring him back.
Give me his records from MIT. You hide.
Yes.
Amen.
Shit. He was in the book of the facility he worked at. Just because you erase his employment records, his employee handbook he still has, his name's in there.
If you're anywhere around Rock Hill, South Carolina, we're here through Sunday, and you want to come down and check out this event. What's the name of this event center?
Rock Hill Event and something and Space.
Sports and Event Space Center.
With not space. That's
there's not a lot here. It's the only thing probably.
Rock Hill
Sports
Center is what it's called.
Sports, sports and Events center. Complex. Yeah. Events and Sports Complex. Some shit like that.
Boom. Come see us. I think it's open to the public. You can just
also,
come right in here.
Subscribe to our YouTube, guys. Please.
Subscribe to YouTube. And also
look
listen.
Look up the Doghouse Dogcast.
Yes.
Listen to the Doghouse.
We can scrub this from the internet later, right?
Obviously, yeah.
Yeah, of course.
We're going to cut you out, all your parts out. We're going to like a Superman.
Social media, where can they find you?
Yeah, so you can find us on Facebook, Doghouse Cornhole Dogcast, and then on Instagram, Doghouse Cornhole Dogcast. And we're on Twitter, too. We tweet. I mean, listen.
Nice.
We got on TikTok the other day. Some kid came up to me and goes, hey, you follow me on TikTok? I'm like, I get no fucking idea what's going on.
No clue.
I open it, and all I hear is, like, rap songs and people, like, throwing cornhole bags out their heads. I'm like, I don't know if I follow you. What's happening? Like, I don't know what's going on. So,
oh, shit.
Thank you guys for having me.
Thanks for coming on, brother. Yeah. And we're looking for having a good weekend. And I'll be in Louisville 17, 18, 19 this month, August. And then I also, Todd and I will be in Jewett, Ohio on the 14th.
Come to Jewett, Ohio. It's almost halfway between Pittsburgh and Columbus, Ohio. If that gives you a frame of reference, at Pennington's. Go to GunsBlazingPodcast.com. There's links to every show. Thank you guys for listening. We love you. We are out.
Are you a questioner, a wanderer, or even a bit of a snooper? If so, then you'll feel right at home in Knoxville. We've got miles of trails to wander in our urban wilderness, award-winning eateries to satisfy your culinary cravings, cultural sites to open your mind, and dog-friendly activities that'll have everyone wagging. Knoxville, calling the curious. Learn more at visitknoxville.com.
Whether it's slots or live dealers, SpinQuest.com has the fun and action you're looking for. With SpinQuest exclusives, blackjack, roulette, baccarat, and even live dice with craps and bubble craps. The games never stop, so you don't have to. And right now, new users get $30 coin packs for just $10. Play now at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.